This is the undiluted word of God. Listen and be blessed.
Lord, as our confession to you this evening, it's all about you, Jesus. We are sorry for the things we've made this. We are running back to the heart of worship. For when the angel said, "Who will open the seal?" there was no found worthy. There was no man in heaven and on earth that could open the seal and the book therein. But the lion and the lamb, the one, the scepter of Judah. Behold, you were worthy. Only you were worthy. Only you was worthy to open the books. It's all about you.
It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. Our living, our lives, everything that pertains to us. It's all about you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your feeling this evening. Thank you for your words. Thank you for how you've helped us to pray. Groanings that could not be uttered, but you've given us utterance according to your spirit. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your infilling. Thank you for your refiner's fire. We've come and it was evident that you were in our midst this evening. We say, blessed be your holy name. Lord, as we look into your word, we ask that you come teach us your word this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen. Can be seated. Praise God. Good evening, church. I thank the pastorate over this commission for the privilege to stand in the midst of the brethren to teach. It's a privilege. I say thank you, sirs. Thank you, mas. Our topic today is our identity in Christ. Our identity in Christ. And our text is from 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. If he is a new creation, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The last verse, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Praise God. Open to Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. I don't know if anyone wants to understand what it means by our identity in Christ. Can I have a roving mic? It's Bible study. Our identity in Christ. From your perspective, what do you think a believer is? Believer identity in Christ. Praise God. So Mrs. want to say something.
Praise God. I believe according to the word of God in Genesis, we have been created in God's image. So our identity in Christ is everything that God is. He has inputted into us through Jesus Christ. So we should reflect the image and all that God is. We should carry that as our being, as our identity. Or if I don't want to use the word identity, use the word the image of God. We should. That's what we have, and that's what we are carrying.
Praise God. I totally agree. I wrote here, which coincides with what you said. Our identity in Christ was who we were before the fall of man. Our identity in Christ is who we have become after the completion of the work of redemption. Our identity in Christ is our identity after humanity was restored to divinity. So God made us in his image and after his likeness. That was the initial plan. That was our identity. We were made after God. We were made of God. And then man fell. And then Christ came, the second Adam, to restore us back to the lost identity. Praise God. In the book of Genesis 1, as Mommy said, let's go to the beginning. Genesis 1 verse 26. Genesis 1 verse 26 said, and then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the sea and the fish of the air. The key word I want to say is, let God said. This was the creation of man. And God said, let us make man in our own image. Let me turn to Genesis 2 verse 4. Let's read from there. After God said, let us make man in image, one. And four says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Next verse. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herbs of the field had grown, for the Lord had caused it to rain, had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. God had spoken, God spoke man into existence in chapter 1, but in 2, there was still no man on ground to till the earth. The next verse, please. Genesis 2, verse 6. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. 7. And the Lord God formed man dust of the ground and breathed into the nostril the breath of life, and man became a living being. King James says a living soul. So there was a creation before a formation. God formed man out of the dust of earth, but God created man from the words of his mouth. And Jesus says, the words I speak are spirit and are life. So since God created us with words of his mouth, but formed our vessels from the dust of the earth, we are spirit beings. We are more of a spiritual creature than an earthly being. Because even in Corinthians that we read, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. If anyone comes to Christ and comes for an altar call, nothing changed in them physically. Nothing changed. No, they don't grow an extra inch of hair. They don't grow an extra inch of finger. But what changes in that man is that the creation that was spoken is coming alive. So the period between which man was born until he comes to find Christ, the spirit of man, which is the candle of the Lord, is asleep. And at the point of salvation is when the man comes into existence, not this formation, Praise God. Praise the living Jesus. When God created Adam, he created Adam as a spirit and clothed Adam in a body. The interaction between the spirit and the body bettered the soul. And as King James would say, a man became a living being, a man became a living soul. The soul houses the mind, the will, and the emotions. The way God initially wanted, or the way God initially planned to relate with man, was the spirit of God. God, who is a spirit, have koinonia with the spirit of man. The spirit of man bets God's will on his will, which is transformed to the mind of the man, and then from the mind bets the emotions, and the emotions controls the flesh. I'll take that again. Paul speaking says, or Jesus, when he was here, the second Adam says, my will is to do the work of the Father. Jesus always kept reminding us, my will is to do the work of the Father, because his spirit and the spirit of the Father had that koinonia and that fellowship, that the will of God became his will. And that was transcended into his mind. And that was why Paul said, let the mind of Christ be in us. And that mind was what controls the emotions, which are the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are the emotions of a believer. And that emotions controls the flesh. So man is primarily a spirit. But this day generation have re-engineered that course. We want to go from the flesh back to the spirit. Initially, it was our spirit have koinonia with God's spirit that transcends that thing through our personality. But now we want to, from the flesh. So you hear things that throughout your journey on earth, if you can try to assess your inner man, fine, you're lucky. But you know, have to be intellectually sound. You know, have to feed your mind through your eyes. Have to feed your soul through your eyes. But really, when Jesus was tempted and tested of his identity, he says, if thou be the Son of Man, the devil came to test the identity of Christ. What did God say? Man shall not live by bread alone. Because man was made from the word of the mouth of God. And that is why man must go back to the words of God. You ever wonder how it works that you read the Bible and your spirit is rejuvenated? It's because it's of the same material you were made of. The same spoken word that you were made of is what is written here. And this is how man is supposed to communion. And this is our identity. What am I saying? How you look is not your identity. The shape of your nose, the shape of your face, your height, the color of your skin, that is not who you are. That is not man from Christ's point of view. Man is primarily a spirit. And it's that spirit man that comes to life after salvation. And that spirit man is the one that has koinonia with God and bets down the relationship through other members of man's entity. I'll give you an example. Let's a practical example of such synergy or synchronization with God. Genesis 2, verse 20. Adam, the first man before the fall. Genesis 2, 20. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But from Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. Next verse. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And Adam slept. And the Lord took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in the place. Next verse. And now Adam was asleep when God was doing all this. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. He made into a woman and he brought her to the man. Next verse. And Adam said, this is now the bones of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. Remember, when God called the new creation woman, Adam was asleep. But immediately Adam woke up. She said, she shall be called woman. That's a practical example of the synergy we had in God when we were at Adam, when we were at Eden, that even the thought of God, we could easily perceive it. What God called her when Adam was asleep, Adam woke up and repeated that same name, because Adam and God had koinonia that betted through his own entirety. Praise God. Praise the living Jesus. When Adam was to fall, the first thing, the thing devil used to test him was his identity. He told them, if you eat this fruit, you will be like gods. For Adam was already a god. Adam in himself did not know his identity. Or should we say, probably lost track of his identity, I don't know. But the primary thing was the loss of our place in Eden was as a result of loss of identity. For the devil came and said, eat of this fruit. Eat of this fruit, you will be like gods. The devil even gave a lower offer. God made us gods. But the devil said, you'll be like gods. But Adam preferred to be like God rather a god. Praise God. No wonder when the second Adam came to earth, Jesus, he reminded us, ye are gods. Ye are gods. Don't forget. Ye are gods. Praise God. When the second Adam was on earth, his identity was tested twice. If thou be a son of man, turn stone to bread. If thou be a son of man, you don't need, Jesus didn't need anything to prove to the devil. There's nothing to prove. I know I'm a son. If Jesus was to prove, he was doubting if he was actually who he was. You don't need to prove. The first man failed the identity test. The second man passed the identity test. And that's how we might see that, Adam, why? Have we been passing our own personal identity test? Has there been time when we forgot who we are, and rather than sit as kings, we're scrambling for food with dogs? Rather than living like light, we're trying to put off our candles. Rather than being the salt of the earth, we're trying to reduce our flavor. Praise God. So primarily, man is a spirit, and that's how God koinonia with man, through a spirit. The Proverbs says, the spirit of man is the candle unto the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. I think that should be Proverbs 20:27. Please, let's read that. Proverbs 20, verse 27. Yes. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depth of his heart. Praise God. Another identity of man is that man is an ordination. Man is a fulfilled promise. We are ordinations and we are prophecy fulfilled. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. It says, before you were formed, I knew thee. Goes back to our creation story and our formation story. Before you were formed, I had already spoken a word over you. And he said that before you were formed, I knew thee, I'd sanctified thee, and I had ordained thee to be a prophet. So for every man, there's an ordination. And that ties down to our purpose or the prophecy we are to fulfill in the dispensation of time. Jesus lived for 33 and a half years, and Bible scholars said he fulfilled at least 350 prophecies in the Bible. Some said it's more than, at least 350 prophecies in the Bible for 33 and a half years. And it's the same thing with me and you. Forever family will come from, forever household, forever clan, forever lineage you find ourselves. There's an ordination, and there's a reason why we were there. We are not, God doesn't play with his resources. He knows you before you were formed, and he won't just put you into time for putting sake. There's an ordination over you. The problem is that or should I say the greatest loss of heaven is that when a man is sent to time and a man forgets his ordination, that is the greatest loss of heaven. That God says, Jeremiah, I formed you as a prophet over Israel. Now your mother will bet you. But he was better than he forgot. And God had to remind him that there's an ordination over you. You are not just here for yourself. You are not just here to enjoy time and go. There's a prophecy you are to fulfill. I've ordained you a prophet over Israel. Praise God. When Jesus was around, the scribes came. They knew a Christ. They knew they were expecting a Christ. They knew that the prophecy says there will be a Christ who will come and die and be, not probably die, maybe and be the king of Israel. But the problem was that they came to ask him, Jesus, are you the Christ? Tell us, are you the Christ? Because they were trying to picture there's a prophecy, but it can't be this person that wants to fulfill the prophecy. There's always a prophecy for every person, every creation sent into time. And if you've not found yours, you have to go back to whoever created us to ask for that. For the first time, it repeated God to create man during the time of Noah. You know, I imagine it as, for example, we built a robot in front of a door and say, everybody that comes to the church, say welcome. And then the robot is malfunctioning. And anybody that comes to the church, the robot is giving the person a slap. What would be our first reaction as a church? We'll first of all shut it down first before we reprogram it and debug. And that's how we are. God has sent us into time. But the problem is that we've forgotten our ordination. We don't even care. We've mistook ordination for interest, for passion, for, you know, I can be interested in anything. I don't like basketball. If you pull me with basketball from now to the end of this year, I'll build interest in it. I may not like anything. Interest is not your ordination. There's that thing that God has placed and said, this is what you will fulfill. And if you have not done it, you are not working on that. And that's the entirety of man. That's the entirety of man. Praise God. For some may be lucky to have parents who God may have shown that, oh, this child I'm giving to you, this is the ordination for the child. You know, before Samson was born, the angel of the Lord appeared to the mother and says, this one you are about to born is a Nazarene. He will be the one to deliver Israel. This shall not be. This shall not be. In case Samson comes and forget, I have told you, you are in time. Guide this child. Remind him. Because the transition from eternity to time, we lose track of that ordination. It takes people who are in time to know and guide you. That's why there's always a place for the need for spiritual fathers in our journeys. It could be your biological parents, fortunately, but people who were in time before your ordination comes. I think I was in school when I heard Pastor Adeboye said he just wished that for every child that he dedicates, or every child, every pastor dedicates on the surface of the earth, the pastor knows the ordination of that child. Just as you bring the child, and the pastor says, this is what is this child's ordination. That would have been easier. But if we've not found it, we should go back to the word. I believe that there are patriarchs in the Bible who have lived their life and their lifestyle have become ordinations. So when you see your pattern like them, you know you are under order. For example, if your pattern of life is that you are the only one saved in your lineage, you should study Abraham. If you know that you are called to assume leadership positions through the academia, you should study Daniel. You know you have the gift of men. Wherever they put you, you will be able to raise men. Even if they take you to the deepest of wilderness, you will raise men. You should study David, Peter, Paul, Esther. These are patriarchs of the Bible that have lived the sands of times. Please open Hebrews 12:1. It says, therefore, we also, seeing we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. A witness is someone who has seen an event unfold. He has seen an event happen. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us or ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Praise God. Praise the living Jesus. Another identity we have is that we are joint heirs with God. Romans 8:16-18. We are joint heirs with God. I remember when we were in secondary school and they told us what's the difference between a sole proprietorship and a joint venture. And we shout, a sole proprietorship doesn't outlive the owner. If the owner dies, the proprietor dies, but a joint venture, if the owner dies, it can continue. When joint partnership with Christ, and one of the things is that it's an unlimited liability. So what it means is that when it comes to debt and there's bankruptcy, I can declare I'm not doing it again. But when it comes to profit, I will share the profit. And that's how we are with Christ. Because he went down to debt. When we were bankrupt, he bought the debt and went to the grave to defeat death in hell and came back for me to share in his profit. That's why we are joint heirs with Christ. It's a partnership. Christ paid the debt he did not owe. But I'm just alive now to enjoy the profit with him. Praise God. Romans, the Spirit himself bear witness we are the Spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. The profit, the glory, is for both Christ and myself. Praise God. Fourth point is we are seated in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6. One of our identities is that we are seated in heavenly places. And raised us together and made us to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, what is this heavenly places? Ephesians 1:20. Let's see the heavenly places we are seated with Christ. Ephesians 1:20. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Next verse. Far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the age but also that which is to come. So we are seated with Christ far above principalities and power. People normally just tell you that we died with Christ, but Christ is up there. We are still on the cross. Christ ascended the throne or left us in the cross. No. We were in Christ. We were in Christ when he was on the cross. And when he ascended the throne, we are with him seated on the throne also. The fifth point here is, we are ambassadors of Christ. We are ambassadors of Christ. In other words, we are kingdom citizens. We are not of this world. We are representative. And as pastor, we say he is from Zion. And so is the rest of us. This is not, I don't want to sound, this, we are just in the dimension of time passing through. We are ambassadors here. Matthew 5:13-16. We might not have time to read it, but Jesus speaking on the sermon says, we are the light of the world and we are the salt of the earth. What does ambassadorship mean? Is a call to reconciliation of men. Is a call to reconciliation of men. And that leads us to the very first text we read, Corinthians 5, verse 17. I'm here to reconcile men to God and then to go back to God. We are sent in time to reconcile men to God. I ask myself sometimes, God created every man that has passed through the earth, and not one person was created by the devil, but hell is being populated by God's creations. The soul who are in hell actually created by God. There was an ordination over those souls. There was purpose over those souls. There was mandate. There was a prophecy those souls were to fulfill. The devil never created anyone. It was all God. All the devil did was just tamper with the formation. That is the earth. So, by virtue of the fall of Adam, a child is born, and until he meets Christ, the spirit is not alive. So, if eventually he dies, everything about purpose, about the will, you know, and we are here on earth and we are thinking that the world is not a better place. And I ask myself, what if everyone that couldn't fulfill purpose and is in hell are actually the cause of why we are in chaos here on earth? Because one way or the other, their own ordination were not fulfilled. And hence, we are at the mercy of the devil here on earth. The call for ambassadorship is the call for reconciliation of men to God. And I pray that God give us the grace to carry this ministry, because we have all been called. It's we are not better than they who haven't come into the acceptance of the salvation of. But the fact is that you are here as an ambassador. In any way we can, in any way we can, our passion should be to depopulate the kingdom of darkness and to populate the kingdom of God. Praise God. Praise the living Jesus. I'll end with that. I don't know if there's any contribution, question. Praise God. Let's rise as we pray. My time is spent. Lord, you've reminded us. Let us thank God for the word we've heard this evening. That he has reminded us that we are spirit beings. We are not earthly. We have an ordination over us. We are joint heirs in Christ. We are ambassadors. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile souls back to Christ. We are here on a journey. Thank God that he has reminded us that we should not be carried away. It is not of us. It is not our own personal life we've come to live. Jesus came and paid the price so we can live right. And it's not of us, it is just of you. We have come and he has reminded us that this journey you are in, you are saved because you are supposed to save others. You are supposed to send this salvation message that fortunately hits you to others as well. Lord Jesus, we seek that you give us the grace to carry this ministry in the name of the Lord Jesus. Empower us for the journey ahead. Empower us for the task in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let our light continually shine. Let us be the salt of the earth in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. We say, blessed be your holy name. Take all glory, take all adoration. For in Jesus.
We hope you've been blessed by the Word of God. The Word is brought to you by RCCG Power Connections, 236 Meanwood Road, Leeds, LS72AH. For more inquiries, you can call 078-513-3702 or send an email to info@rccgpowerconnectionsleeds.com. God bless you.